Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children and anarchists of all ages, welcome to the Dark Lord Reapers United States of Anarchy podcast. Who am I? I'm the man without a plan, the Dark Lord himself, the Nightmare King, giving you unapologetic truth, hardcore facts. And occasionally we have fun over here. If you're looking for celebrity gossip, this is not the podcast for you. We talk about real topics and real situations for real people. If you don't like what I have to say, two words, don't listen. Boycott my podcast. Boycott my social media. Block me. I don't care. It's just that simple, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, happy freaking New Year! It is 2024. We made it, people. I know I keep saying I'm going to be more consistent, but I'm here, people. And we're starting off this year, 6 days into the new year, with a new episode and a new segment on my show called Current Events, where I talk sports, I talk politics, and I occasionally slip in a little bit of the celebrity drama. I know I said no celebrity gossip, but if it's rooted in fact and it affects the grander scheme of things, I have no choice but to bring it up. So let's have some fun. When I come back, we're going to talk sports. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are talking sports in this segment. So let's start with the NFL, people. In the AFC East, the Miami Dolphins sit at the top of the hill. Who would have thought? Let me turn down the music for a second, because y'all need to be able to hear what I'm saying. Yeah, that's better. So, the Miami Dolphins sit at the top of the mountain. They are king of the hill, ladies and gentlemen. And right underneath them are two New York teams. Who would have thought? And it's not who you think it is. It's the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. Gangrene is in the third spot in the AFC East division. Who would have thought? And right under them is my most hated team. The team I hate the most. The New England Patriots. If there is one team I can't stand, it's them, the Patriots. It's friendly competition, people. It's nothing personal. But I love the fact that the Dolphins are finally stepping up. Yeah, let's run that back one more time. So, yeah. So, in the AFC West, the Chiefs, welcome to the Red Kingdom. The Chiefs are in the AFC Western Division at the top. They have officially clinched the division. The Dolphins have officially clinched the wild card spot. So, it's still up for grabs, people. Underneath them are the Denver Broncos. I don't know if you guys are aware of the controversy surrounding a one Russell Westbrook and how the Denver Broncos are doing it. But we're going to talk about that in another podcast, people, another episode. So in the North Division, we got my hometown, the Ravens, them Blackbirds. They have officially clinched the AFC North Conference. And right underneath that, clinching the wild card spot, who would have thought? The Cleveland Browns, people. The Cleveland Browns. I know Steve Harvey is somewhere smiling, and he ain't got much to smile about these days. And I'm going to tell you why in the next segment. Underneath that, you got the Steelers, and you got the Bengals. Underneath that, you got the Steelers and you got the Bengals, ladies and gentlemen. So, as far as the AFC South goes, we got the Jaguars, the Colts, the Texans, and the Titans. Now, let's get to the other conference, the NFC. At the top, it's them boys, the Dallas Cowboys. Who would have thought? Underneath them is the Philly Eagles, Those two teams are the top dogs in these they're the two top teams. And of course, both of these teams that I cheer for, the New York Giants and the Commanders, are officially out of contention for playoffs, but they're still going. The Giants with 5 wins and 11 losses, the Commanders with 4 wins and 12. Yeah, y'all the Commanders, but y'all can't command a damn win. Moving on to the NFC West, we got the 49. Oh, yeah, before I moved on, the Cowboys clinched. The Cowboys and the Eagles clinched a wild card spot. But in the NFC West division, the hold on, people. In the NFC, where was I? I got twisted around. The NFC West division, the one that clinched the conference, their conference spot for the playoffs, is the San Francisco 49ers. Clinching a wild card spot underneath them are the LA Rams. That's still weird for me to say. I'm so used to saying St. Louis. Underneath that are the Seahawks and the Cardinals. Now for the NFC North, you got the Detroit Lions clinching the division in the NFC North. This is something new, people. Right underneath them is the Cheeseheads, the Green Bay Packers. Their name is Green Bay Packers, but yet your helmets are yellow. underneath that, you got the Minnesota Vikings and you got the Chicago Bears. In the NFC South, you got the Buccaneers. Right underneath that are the Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers. So that is it for football, people. So let's switch paces for a second and let's get into some basketball, because we got a lot to talk about there, people. I can go for hours talking about that. But let's get into it. So there you have it, people, for football. Sorry for the dead silence. So let's get into this now. The NBA.
A Domino's order oh, carry out online or by phone.
Sorry about that, people.
Pizza for $7.99 each.
Okay, so let's do with the Eastern Conference, people. The number one team in the Eastern Conference with 27 wins and 7 losses are the Boston Celtics. They have returned to form. They got a team this year, people. But guess what? Right underneath them at the number two spot in the Eastern Conference is the new dynamic duo of the Greek Freak, Damian Lillard, and the Milwaukee Bucks with 25 wins and 10 losses. That's a good record. Underneath them are the 76ers. At the fourth spot, the Pacers. Boo! Right underneath them, Miami Heat, with the number six spot, is the Florida Magic, Orlando Magic. And the seventh spot and the eighth spot are the most surprising to me. The New York Knicks at the seventh spot with 20 wins and 15 losses. Right underneath them is the Cleveland Cavaliers with the same dynamic. And underneath them, one spot out of playoff contention, if it were to start right now, is the Brooklyn Nets with 16 losses and 16 wins, 20 losses. Sorry, people. It's crazy. It's crazy. 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 So let's go to the Western Conference. So in the Western Conference, the number one team is the Minnesota Timberwolves with 25 wins and 9 losses. Impressive, gentlemen. Keep up the good work. Carl Anthony Towns has been going to town. Underneath that is the Oakland City Thunder, OKC, in the house. How many teams does LA have, does California have? So, no, Oklahoma, sorry. Oklahoma, my bad, people. Underneath that is the Denver Nuggets. At the fourth spot is the LA Clippers. This team is starting to live up to the hype with 22 wins and 12 losses. Underneath that is the Sacramento Kings. Shout out to the Bay Area. Underneath that, the sixth spot is the Dallas Mavericks. And at the seventh spot is the New Orleans Pelicans. Rounding out the top eight teams is the Phoenix Suns. With at the ninth spot is the Houston Rockets. It ain't looking too good for LA's former usual top teams, the Golden State Warriors and the LA Lakers. It ain't looking too good, people. But let's get into some real basketball. Let's get into some trades that I found interesting and, you know, players that have been doing their thing. Let's talk about the recent blockbuster trade that the New York Knicks made. They traded RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley for OG Ginobili from the Toronto Raptors. Now, at first, I wasn't feeling the trade at all. I wasn't. I'm not even going to sit here in front, ladies and gentlemen. But ever since he's been added to the roster and put into regular rotation, the Knicks are 3-0. They are on a three-game winning streak, beating the top team in the Western Conference, the Minnesota Timberwolves. That says a lot. So maybe management is finally getting it and they're finally listening and doing what they got to do. The next time we do current events, I'm going to get into hockey, ladies and gentlemen, because it's been getting ill on the ice the other day. It was getting ill because the New York Rangers got dog walked by the Hurricanes. A 6-1 loss. That was a massacre, people. So the Stanley Cup Finals are starting to look interesting, as well as the NFL. When we come back, I'm going to end this segment here. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we going to get into some real serious stuff. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are going to talk some politics right now. It's that season, people. It's that time of year once again for the presidential candidacy of the United States. And so much has happened. We are literally watching a dumpster fire, people. But that's neither here nor there. We have never had so many Republican candidates. And guess who is the front runner for the Republican Party? You guessed it, Mr. Insurrection himself, the 45th of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And now he is catching hell. He is catching fire and brimstone from all sides, because now he is officially facing a RICO case. For those of you who don't know what a RICO case is, RICO is an acronym for Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organizations Act, also known as the RICO. And it's him and a lot of his cabinet members. And his mugshot has officially become available. So, ladies and gentlemen, the reality TV show called Trump is almost over. Almost the season finale, ladies and gentlemen. The series finale. We're almost there. But right now, he is facing court here in New York for tax fraud and business fraud. And if he is found guilty and convicted, he will no longer, not only will he have to pay a hefty fine, he nor his family will no longer be able to do business in the state of New York of any kind. Talk about a fall from grace. Now, here's the irony. Something else that happened in the political world. Well, the congressman, the New York City councilman, is the new New York City councilman, Yusuf Salam. That name should sound familiar because I've talked about his case on my platform. He was one of the Central Park Five, now the Exonerated Five. Why I bring this up and why it's relevant to the conversation? Because yes, he's now a political figure, but he's now a political councilman in the state that was literally calling for his head. He is now a political representative that makes legislation in the state of New York, the same state that Mr. Donald Trump paid $70,000 to take out an article in the Wall Street Journal and literally put out a hit on him and his four other co-defendants slash friends. And now he's a counselor. And now Donald Trump is facing prison. Something he actually did. Let Yousef Salam, Mr. Yousef Salam's story tell you that it's not what people say about you. It's not what people, how people look at you. It's how you rise above it. And now look at it. He's a counselor while Trump is going back and forth to court. How do you like them apples? But moving on from that, the political landscape is getting crazy. One of the political people, the political candidates, Nikki Haley, recently said, and I wish I had it queued up, but she recently said that civil war had nothing to do with slavery. And she said she misspoke. Everyone knows that it's about that. She didn't misspeak. You did not misspeak, Miss Haley. You said that genuinely because that's really how you feel and how people like you really feel. Now, I'm going to say this again, and I hope people are paying attention, because the last time people ignored me when I tried to warn them before I had my podcast, I ended up saying I told you so. I hope I don't have to say I told you so again. Nikki Haley and that other spawn of Satan from Florida, DeSantis, are 10 times worse and 10 times more dangerous than Donald Trump, especially the other one, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, I learned a little bit about Miss Greene, and I understand why she has such racist views. She actually grew up in Georgia in what's called a sundown town. For those of you who don't know what a sundown town is, basically, if you are a person of African-American descent or a person of color and you are in a neighborhood that identifies as a sundown town, do not be caught there after dark, because the locals will do unspeakable things to you. You would think that in this modern day and age, that's still a thing. Yes, it is. Sadly. And these are the type of people. And she comes from that kind of background, just by the things she said. The things she says. I played audio of you guys so you guys could hear her saying what she said about the Roe versus Wade. The Roe versus Wade overturned. I let you guys hear that audio for yourselves. And these are the type of people. DeSantis is another one. He basically wants RTC, critical race theory, the kryptonite to any white Christian conservative, RTC, off the books. So basically, these people are telling you, they've shown you what they're going to do if gotten into office. And I can't tell people how to vote one way or the other, because you know how I feel on the United States of Anarchy. Right wing, left wing, same bird. So I can't tell you who to vote for, but I do know that these three aren't it. And in terms of politics, now that we're on the subject of right wing politics or extremist politics, let's talk about what's going on in the Middle East. Now, I'm not taking a side one way or the other. This is my issue. Children are being killed. Don't say nothing. Children are being killed. Babies are dying. Babies who had no say in what's going on. Because I'm pretty sure if it was left up to the children, everybody would be getting along and we wouldn't have So I'm demanding a ceasefire. Because this has gotten out of hand. And for those of you who are cheering for a hospital that got blown up because supposed terrorists were using it as a front, but yet there's no evidence to show that, you're cheering for a hospital being blown up where women and children go to feel better and get help, and you're cheering for that? You really need to look yourself in the mirror. You really you to read whatever religious book that you have, because that's not very holy or godly. And that's all I'm going to say on it. So, oh yes, boy, I forget. Democratic, there's a Democrat, his name escapes me, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to bring it up in another episode. They got him on charges, as well as they went after President Biden's son, Hunter Biden. Now, we all know what this is really about. They just want to go after him because they really don't have any much, they don't have much dirt on his old man, so they want to go after Hunter. Now, he's not the first that's been on drugs. He's not going to be the last. This is just reality. He's not the first. He's not going to be the last. We all know that because 45th is on trial, they can't get the father, so they're going to get the son, huh? Really. I really hope it works out for him. Now, as for the senator that got caught with the gold and all that, if you are in fact guilty, you deserve to be punished and put through the ringer just like anybody else. And I'm going to end this segment right here. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the big controversy. The first, and it's only been 6 days, people. Dag on it. We're going to talk about the recent interview between Shannon Sharp and legendary comedian Pat Oates. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, before I get into the next segment, I wanted to touch on something really quick. January 6, 2021, a day that would live in infamy. I was supposed to bring this up in my last segment, but it's in this segment now. January 6, 2021, the insurrection that took the world by storm. We didn't see it coming, ladies and gentlemen. Now, it's been 3 years after the fact. There are some people who are saying, let's move on, let's sweep it under the rug. I'm not one of those people. I haven't forgotten. And a lot of the people who are still walking, who are involved, are still walking around, no consequences or repercussions. But sooner or later, you're going to poke your heads out of your little hole in the wall, your little hole in the ground, a hole in the wall, wherever you people like you like to hide. And you're gonna, and you will be exposed. You will face the consequences of your actions. Because my new slogan for 2024 is illumination. And I'll get into that to my final segment. Illumination, shedding light. Just like the person I'm about to talk about in this segment. Now, as I pride myself on, I normally don't get into celebrity gossip. But in this case, I'm making the rare exception. Because this isn't celebrity gossip. This is a guy who is being labeled as crazy, on drugs, and all that. I'm talking about the interview that Shannon Sharp, one of my favorite commentators and journalists, and the interview he did with the legendary stand-up comedian slash actor, Cat Williams, aka Money Mike, for those of you who are not familiar with his work. And he has been coming. So I'm going to play a little bit of what he said and why he's going at me. So here's some of the audio from the... I'm going to play bits and pieces of it. I'm just going to comment, chime in every now and then. Here is some of the audio. Here's some of what he said, how he started.
Deviance is all catching hell in 2024. It's up for all of them. It don't matter if you Denny or whoever you is. T.G. Jakes, any of them. All lies will be exposed. That's all. And anyone who takes that the wrong way, know why they take it the wrong way. The truth is the life.
And they have the normal days.
Amen, amen.
Gee.
Now see, I like that line. I like what he said there. 2024, it's up for a lot of you. I'm not even talking about the big time deviants. I'm talking about your little ones too. But let's go into what else he had to say. Let's go into what else he had to say. Let's go.
That's my story. That's not his story. Steve Harvey was never homeless. When Mark Curry was touring with him 25 years ago, he was making $3,000 a show in cash and doing 5 shows a week. They just tell the stories. Thanks to my wife, I'm where I am. You said that about the first wife. You forget that? You told us it was her. Then you went and married somebody else that think like a man. Like, what are you talking about? They think they can rewrite history. Guy Tori did a beautiful special about the Comedy Store and Fat Tuesday, where he said that Steve and Cedric and Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish came through there and made all lies. Steve and Cedric never performed at the Comedy Store at all. Tiffany was only seen at the Laugh Factory. In 15 years in Hollywood, no one in Hollywood has a memory of going to a sold-out Kevin Hart show, there being a line for him ever getting a standing ovation at any comedy club. He already had his deals when he got here. Have we heard of a comedian that came to L.A. and in his first year in L.A., he had his own sitcom on network television and had his own movie called Soul Plane that he was leading? No, we've never heard of that before that person or since that person. What do you think a plant is?
Now, I'm not jumping on the whole industry plant thing, but some of the things that he said in his interview made a lot of sense. Now, here's another part of the interview I wanted to touch on. A person that I said, you know, I washed my hands of him. I said I had to wash my hands of him. But then I've come to regret that remark because Cat Williams brought up something that I said, you know what, maybe I was a little bit too quick to jump the gun. I'm still going to hold this person accountable. But here's what he had to say about Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Here's what he had to say.
You want me to play a fake game?
Hold on, people.
This looks kind of cool. Wish me luck. Okay, so we're going to start off.
Hold on, people. Hold on. Hold on.
From a distance, obviously, I don't know how well you know Kanye. I don't know if you've been around Kanye, but from a distance, what do you suspect's going on?
I suspect that we're pretty awful people if we say that somebody got a mental illness and then we watch what they do. If you say somebody got special needs, then why would you be watching them and holding them accountable like everybody else? Wouldn't you grade them on a curve? Wouldn't you go, ooh, this guy? Because, I mean, what are we reacting to? What are we reacting to? You're the one that put him in a position where he thought he was God and could call himself Jesus. And you're the one told a guy that writes musical lyrics that he was a genius. You're the one that's like, so what do you expect? The guy married a whore. Like, what?
Oh,
like,
oh my God.
I didn't mean it like that. I mean, married her because she was one. Now he didn't know. He understood that he wanted that. He courted that. That's what he wanted to base his family on.
Good heart, though. I know what you're gonna say. Don't you say it, Cat. Don't you say it. I won't move the conversation.
If what I'm saying is not correct, then how does she end up with Pete Davidson?
Oh boy.
I mean, it happens all the time.
And what if you weren't even good enough for Pete and he leaves you? What do that mean the product was? No, I don't support or villainize Kanye because I don't understand what it is we want from him. I don't know why we look at a basketball player and say, he didn't score no hockey goals this whole season. He don't play hockey. Kanye don't say nothing I can agree with. Okay. He was the weird guy in the beginning with the pink sweaters, right, when we met him. Like, what do you think, moving to a beat of your own drum? This dude started a church and kept cussing. Nobody in black church said nothing. You would have thought all the pastors would have came. You can't be no gospel artist. You just said fuck that bitch. Nobody said nothing, cause TD Jakes over there was being in it. Like,
oh my god.
Only the guy you had.
So there it is, people. Now, he did bring up a point about Kanye, and I have to retake my stance. As Mr. Cat Williams said, I don't villainize him, but I can't support him either. That's my new stance. I have to take that. He you know, said a lot of things that add up and make sense. Now, here's what he had to say about Steve Harvey.
The same Steve that went to go watch Mark Curry do his whole sitcom and then stole everything Mark Curry had. Now Steve got a sitcom where he the principal and he wear a suit and he... And then he gets this high top fade, making all black men think he got the best lineup in the business. And it's a man unit. Then you ask it, why you not a movie star? I didn't want to be a movie star. This the same Negro that hated on Bernie with this same thing. I didn't want to be a movie star. No, you couldn't be a movie star. There are 30,000 new scripts in Hollywood every year. Not one of them asks for a country bumpkin black dude that can't talk good over cable and look like Mr. Potato Head. There ain't none. God. You would have to have range. I played a lot of characters, 60 movie roles. I'm not playing Cat Williams in there.
I don't know, Cat. We might not let you drink anymore the way you. I mean, we ain't even got...
I'm not fueled by alcohol. I've had a sip less than you. This is like Steve Harvey telling people he used to be homeless. That's my story. That's not his story. Steve Harvey was never homeless. When Mark Curry was touring with him 25 years ago, he was making $3,000 a show in cash.
So there you go, people. I didn't even know that was a headpiece. I'm not Cat Williams, man. But here's what he had to say about Ricky Smiley. Now, for those of you who don't know who Ricky Smiley is, he is the character in Friday After Next that was the Santa Claus crook. And he's a very talented, very funny comedian. And he also was in First Sunday. So here's what
you
he had to say.
Ricky Smiley sit here and you said out that mouth, you stole Friday After Next, the one I was in. I wish all of America fumbled a bit when that happened. And then he said some stuff that we haven't heard in 100 years in Hollywood. You ain't say nothing. This man told you he had Cat Williams' role. He was going to be Money Mike. And Cat Williams was gonna be the Santa Claus. Now let's three quick points. You mean in Hollywood they cast a 5'5" black Santa Claus that weigh 145 pounds? That's your story. Your story is the Ricky Smiley that couldn't even do curse words because he had a Christian fan base. He was gonna play the pimp. Why you didn't ask him why has he played a woman in more movies than he's played a man?
Well, I didn't know
him. He shouldn't be able. You wouldn't let an athlete that been on steroids talk about one of the greats. Ricky Smiley can't act because Ricky Smiley can't act. He told you the story about when the movie came out. Where did he say he watched it? At home. He wasn't even at the premiere. You telling this man you stole that. Oh, so he could get his name in the same sentence. What a great one. It is sad. He was just that bitter when we were shooting it. He told everybody, it should have been my role. Everybody on the scene. Why do you think no cast member has ever said anything?
He couldn't have played that role like you. I thought he
was... Sir, no one... Why no... He was with KD? He beat up Terry Crews? Why nobody know this story? You talking about in Hollywood, they switched off roles. You take this and he... What?
YouTube Music Premium is an experience that gives...
Okay, people. So, Cat Williams took aim at a lot of people, and he said a lot of things that I went and did my own personal research, and it came out to be true. I just wanted you guys to hear it for yourselves, and you make up your own opinions. But he did bring up... He did do one thing... And I was already thinking about this. He indirectly brought up the fact that there are so many people who are labeled crazy on drugs stupid and they're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. And you have to keep their dirty little secrets while they get to do you wrong. So this year, starting this year going forward, I will have a new segment on this podcast called The Illumination Hour. Like Cat Williams said, it's up for all bullies, narcissists, deviants in the world. And I'm with it. I'm with Cat Williams. Because for too long, we have sat back and watched people do good people wrong and ruin people's lives, ruin their reputation, and there are no repercussions or no vindication. So now, I am taking it upon myself to lead the charge, and I'm going to go at former bullies of my own. So if you're listening to this and you have been bullied in school, at your job, or someone has taken advantage of you and you've never gotten justice, come on over to my podcast, and I'll let you tell your side of the story. However, if I do find out that you are in fact lying on this person, there will be consequences for you too. So be warned. So I'm going to end this segment here. So when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into one of my favorite topics, the WWE wrestling. And boy, so much has happened. So much has happened. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. So we are talking wrestling in this segment. And boy, hell has frozen over. Pigs fly. The seas have parted. We can see the northern lights. Lightning has struck twice because, ladies and gentlemen, after 10 long years, the king of the independents, Mr. Hardcore Straight Edge, CM Punk, has returned to the WWE. And who would have thought? Tony Khan, AEW, you fumbled the bag, you screwed the pooch, you rim job the ram, you humped the moose on that one. You guys really did. Yes, AEW, you did. This is what happens when the owner of a company tries to be friends with the employees. This is what happens. I'm sorry. Another thing that we didn't see coming is Cody Rhodes returning to the WWE to finish the story, as he puts it. Didn't see that one come. I didn't see Cody Rhodes coming back to WWE. And honestly speaking, it's a good fit for him, all things considering the history that his family has in the WWE. His father, the late, great Dusty Rhodes, his brother, Goldust, for those of you who didn't know that. So that's how that works out. This Friday, the great one, The Rock, graced us with his presence and gave us the promo of a lifetime and gave us a hint that he wants to sit at the head of the table. I wonder what he could mean. But in other news, Jinder Mahal gave one of the best promos, the best and most relevant promos of the modern era. No debate. No debate. He went in, and I am proud of Jinder Mahal. He's showing that he should be at least... No, he doesn't even deserve to be in the mid-card. He doesn't deserve to be a mid-carder because he's shown he can be a main event player. He's shown that. And this, in the promo that he cut, shows that he can be a top heel. He could be up there with the late, great Iron Sheik. No pun intended, because The Rock brought it up in their promo on Monday Night Raw. Nia Jax versus The Man, Becky Lynch, was a good match. I liked it. Yes, she returned. My baby came back. I love it, baby. I love it. And yeah, I don't know if it was kayfabe or what, but she gave Becky Lynch a solid punch in the jaw and mouth busted. We don't know if it's kayfabe. We don't know if that was legit, but it was a good match, and it sets Nia Jax up to be a main event player. The people who have had the best championship, person who had the best championship run, as far as I'm concerned, has been Rhea Ripley. She has had a great championship run. And guess who else has returned? This Friday, while the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley were cutting a promo, letting it be known what their plans are for this year and what their goals and admirations are, Karrion Kross and AOP, the Authors of Pain, have returned, and they have teamed up. So we are looking at a few faction wars. So let's go at the faction wars that are in the WWE, right? The factions that are in WWE. We got Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. Quick side note, even though the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley are supposed to be heels, no matter what they do, people won't boo them. So they might as well just put them out there as face. They might as well do that. So you got the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. That's one faction. You got Karrion Kross with AOP. That's another faction. You got the Judgment Day. We're going to get to them in a second, because what's been going on with the election? That's three factions. You got the Bloodline. That's four. You got the Alpha Academy. That's five. The New Day. If Big E gets healthy and can come back and return, hopefully. Even if it's in a manager capacity. There's a few factions of brewing. There's a lot of factions in the WWE. Good factions. You got LWO, which they recently had a split because of his name escapes me, but Kevin Owens beat him the other day. So now it's Kevin Owens versus Paul Logan. And I'm loving it. I like the fact that Paul Logan is United States champion. He's a perfect heel. He's a good trash talker. He's proven that. He had a great match with Rey Mysterio. He actually saved Rey Mysterio from a mistake that could have ended badly for Rey Mysterio. So it's good. I just wish he would show himself. This is the thing about the champions. People that are letting them hold the championships, who are, you know, in position of championship, show yourself. Even if you're not wrestling, like, come out, you know, jump on somebody. Just show yourself. That's my issue. But Rey Mysterio's son, who in my opinion is one of the top heels in WWE right now, Dominic Mysterio, and CM Punk had a match at the holiday show, and it was good. It was really good. It wasn't awkward. Dominic has really come a long way since he started out with his dad. And they need to just leave him as a heel. Just leave him as a heel. That's just me. That's just my humble opinion. So now that we've touched on WWE, let's talk about AEW. I like the product. I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing over there. But management needs to switch up. You cannot be friend. This is what they're doing over there with the Elite. And I hate the Elite chant. I really don't like it. With the Elite being friends with Tony Khan. That is what was the downfall of WCW. Management trying to be friends with the top stars. It can't work. It's going to mess up other people's aspirations and screw shit over. But they're one of their top guys that is referred to as one of the four pillars, MJF, has apparently been taken off their roster. So rumors are circulating that he might come to WWE, which I hope he doesn't. I really don't. I think he needs to stay in WWE, in AEW. He needs to stay over there. So we also saw that Adam Cole is the big baddie that everyone's been waiting for with the Devils. You see, it's Adam Cole. We see some of the familiar faces from Undisputed Era / people from Ring of Honor. Now, before I get too carried away, I want to say rest in peace to one of the greats, Mr. A Double Crooked Letter, Jay Briscoe of the Briscoe Brothers. That was heartbreaking to hear. Condolences to the families. to the family and his brother, Mark Briscoe, Mr. Sussex County Chicken. It's not going to be the same watching Ring of Honor. You can't mention Ring of Honor without mentioning the Briscoe brothers, because they were a staple in Ring of Honor. They didn't go anywhere else. They stayed when other guys left, when War Machine left, aka the Viking Raiders, for those of us who don't know. Brian Danielson, he left. Like, a lot of people left and came back. The Briscoes didn't go anywhere. So respect to them for staying true to what's going on. But also, rumor has it that for the Royal Rumble, two infamous women's wrestlers might return to the WWE. Rumor has it that Naomi, aka Trinity Fatu, the wife of one of the Usos, may return to the WWE after her contract with Impact Wrestling is done, as well as the infamous Sasha Banks might be returning to the WWE. So we're just gonna have to see what happens there. So let me know in the comments section, who is your picks for this year's winners of the Royal Rumble, the Women's Royal Rumble, and the Men's Royal Rumble, as well as the Money in the Bank. Now, honestly speaking, I've enjoyed the whole storyline with the Tribal Chief, but it's getting a little played out, especially how the match between main event Jey Uso and Roman played out. I didn't like the ending of it, and it kind of like was like, wait a minute, it kind of made no sense, but I'm just going to be okay with it, and let's see how it goes, because they're setting up Rock versus Roman, so it's like going to be a family affair. So let's see what happens in that regard. So I'm going to end this episode here, people. Tune into my next episode, where I do TV, movie, video game, toys, and trailer reviews. And the episode after that, I keep saying I'm gonna do the food episode, where I talk about talk about restaurants and who has the best of what. And after that, I am going to do my first Illumination Hour. So, until next time, people, always seek truth. Happy New Year. May all your dreams and admirations come to fruition. Rage Against the Machine, always seek truth. And like Cat Williams say, stand on business. Until next time, love, peace, chicken grease, deuces.